Missionary Jim Elliot said, "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." Jim was not even 30 years old when he gave his life while attempting to reach a fierce Indian tribe. Later, his widow Elizabeth and their young daughter Valerie went to live with the same tribe for 2 years, teaching them about God and his love for them. What sacrifices are you and I willing to make for what we believe? Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, calling us to put our plans in the hands of our loving Heavenly Father. Here's Elizabeth.
Jesus said, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and overburdened, and I will give you rest. Put on my yoke and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you again today about husbands speaking out. Yesterday, I read a letter from Elizabeth Handford, author of a wonderful little book called Me, Obey Him. I strongly recommend that book to any of you wives who are having trouble submitting to your husbands, and I would strongly recommend it to you husbands, so that you would get an insight into what it means to a woman when she is told that she is to submit to you. I read also a letter from a happy husband. I don't get very many of those, so that was a special pleasure. I told you about my friend Frank Murray. Now, it won't surprise you to know that I've heard from some unhappy husbands. Here's one of those. "I'm a 36-year-old husband, father of 3 children. I'm blessed to have a job where I can listen to Christian radio throughout the day without interruption or interference, for which I thank the Lord daily. My job is my mission field at this time, and I have several people here to whom I witness and share the testimony of Christ in my life. I've gained their attention to my witness through God's grace, equipping me to enjoy my labor and my commitment to excellence and hard work. I've been listening to your radio program every morning. The book you talked about this past week, Me, Obey Him, is just what is needed in our home. My wife of 9 years comes from a home where her mother is the dominant figure in the home. And to keep peace, her father just lets it happen. Well, this dominance has carried over into our marriage, and to keep peace in the home, I don't fight it. But it has made our marriage and home a living hell on earth. Because she questions and challenges my every motive or thought, I just don't try anymore. I've gotten to the point where I don't want to come home from work at night. And on the weekends, I can't wait till Monday morning. Granted, I'm not perfect, have my faults, and have contributed to our problem. The underlying tension is her not submitting to the Lord or to me. Please pray for us." And I would certainly want to make sure that that man has the little leaflet available from Gateway to Joy called Do You Love Me? Because, of course, he might not be entirely correct that the problem is because of her refusal to submit. He says the underlying tension is her not submitting to the Lord. It might be that he doesn't love her as Christ loved the church. I have another letter here from another man. "I just want to say thank you for airing the series Me, Obey Him. I just felt like she was really addressing the problems which have fractured my marriage. Pride, insubmission, rebellion, and lack of humility. I do not want to point the finger or to be judgmental, but I do know one thing for sure. It will repair many marriages and restore peace and love in many homes. I just pray that these tapes and my prayers will transform the heart and life of my wife, including many other marriages." A letter from a woman. "I'm not the frilly feminine type, but to be a Christian woman and be womanly seems to me to be better. I have always felt that no woman can be really fulfilled without in some degree or other serving. As a secretary, I always felt I was there to take as much off the shoulders of the boss as possible, in both secular and Christian offices, and to keep his feathers smoothed down. It takes a little oiling to keep the wheels moving, and largely that is a woman's job. This business of secretaries saying, "I don't make coffee, I don't do this or that, it's not my job," really irritates me. Why do they think they're there? The woman who insists on her, quote, rights, unquote, invariably loses both femininity and womanliness, and usually the respect of her male colleagues, in my experience. Thank you, Dorothy Harvey, for that little reminder how desperately I need all the help I can get in speaking about femininity, because as soon as we become competitive with men, demanding equality, standing on so-called rights, we begin to lose that lovely quality with which God created us, which is femininity. Now here's a wonderful one from a woman who learned how to strengthen their home. Thank you for the week of broadcasts on the stay-at-home mother. I gleaned material for some good discussions with my daughters. One of the broadcasts dealt with ways that a stay-at-home wife helps her husband as well as her children. This is something I had already been thinking about earlier in the month. What I've been recognizing is that my husband benefits in the following ways. I can take time to pay attention to his needs, because I'm almost always home when he's at work. I'm able to hang up Glenn's shirts, hang up his pants, put away other clothes of his, or delegate that job to one of the children, be sure the bathroom is picked up, be sure he has clean towels and washcloth, clean our bedroom, and have our bed made. I'm able to be sure he has a snack to take to work. He takes carrot sticks. And that his breakfast is ready. The list can go on and on. I can also take a few minutes to freshen up and change my clothes before he comes home at night. I got that idea from you several months ago. Well, thank you for that, because I got that idea from my mother. She was always in a fresh dress when my father came home. I will continue with her letter. I think all these things are hard to measure in their true value. More important, however, is that I'm learning to be constant in prayer for my husband. I'm starting to see the need more clearly than I ever have for keeping him in prayer. It's something I can do since I am not employed outside the home. I wrote to you about a month ago, and I mentioned that I'm soon going to turn 40. I also mentioned the prayer for the middle-aged that you had read on the broadcast. Since I wrote to you, you were offered a trip by Glenn's bosses. Glenn talked to his parents about taking care of our children before he even brought it up to me. Lord willing, in about 2 weeks, we will be flying to St. Thomas for a week. During that week, I turn 40. I've been asking myself this question. Could it be, had I not been a stay-at-home mother and wife, that Glenn would not have done well at work last year? And consequently, we wouldn't have been offered this trip? Or worse yet, he could have even lost his job. It has also occurred to me lately that I need not concern myself over whether my husband recognizes my spiritual gifts or helps me develop any. Rather, if I try to help him succeed, if God permits, he will see to it about my spiritual gifts. My responsibility is to simply serve my husband and help him develop his. Lately, God has been pouring out a deep love and respect in my heart for my husband, deeper than I've ever experienced, as I've been meditating on the first verses of Mark 10. The first verses of Mark 10. Before I close, I also want to thank you for the very helpful tip about ordering our decisions by the questions, is this the proper use? Is this the proper place? Is this the proper time? I have no idea how many times that has helped me since I first heard you mention these questions. By God's wonderful grace, may you and I and thousands of other wives be more faithful to our husbands, more faithful in prayer for them, and more like Jesus every day. Thank you, Virginia Richardson. I needed that letter myself. I need to be more faithful to my husband, more cheerful, less argumentative. Oh my, what a failing of mine that is. I can see a flaw in every argument he makes. I want to rebut him. I want to raise questions. I don't think I necessarily do it in a nasty way. I certainly hope it's not nasty. That would exacerbate the problem, wouldn't it? But why do I do it at all? Why can't I just peacefully and cheerfully accept his verdict on some decision? Back to that definitive passage in the scripture that teaches husbands where they belong in the home and wives where they belong. Verse 24 of Ephesians 5 says, "Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything." Note those last two words. Wives are to submit to their husbands in everything because we are to do it in the same way that the church submits to Christ. There are no exceptions. And note the very next verse, "Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy." If the wife recognizes that her position is to represent the bride, and the husband represents the position of Christ, who is the bridegroom, and each accepts that place and acts accordingly, I don't think there would ever be a divorce.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliott. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.